It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king may not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. They were unable to do this. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the laws of his God." So these administrators and satraps went to a group with the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days except you, Your Majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, Your Majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so it cannot be altered. In accordance with the law of Medes and Persians, we cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learnt that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before.
So thank you, Daniel, and we've really appreciated the time you've taken to help us with the Daniel story, and congratulations on all the pronunciations and the way that you've read for us. It's brought it to life for us, so thank you, and I'm sure all of us have felt really helped by all that you've done for us. So today, as you can see, Tom and I are in the room together, but separated.
2 metres between our faces. Not quite our legs, but it's very hard to fit it on one camera.
We thought to wrap up this Daniel series that we'd do it together. And so we're going to have a little chat about some of the things that have come out of the Daniel story, but also particularly from Daniel chapter 6 that we've heard today. I don't know how you've been feeling really during this time, but I'm guessing if you're like me, this wasn't really a choice that you thought you'd have to make about this lockdown time, and it's been very challenging for most of us. I don't know what's challenged you the most, Tom, in all this, but for me, it's just been that lack of connection with people, really. And although to start with it felt okay, I think as time has gone on, that's become really difficult to maintain that sort of connection. But it's a second choice. It's like a second choice life. Viv Thomas wrote a book about Daniel and called it The Second Choice Life. And I think that really does sum up the Daniel story so well, that this wasn't what Daniel chose. He didn't choose to go into exile. He didn't choose to have to face all the challenges that he faced. But in that second choice life, he still thrived and flourished in terms of how he was going to live as a follower of God. A young man, when he came into Babylon, plucked out of that huge crowd of people who came, clearly had something special about him, and he was headed for great things anyway, probably even back home. But how was he going to react here? And I think what we've seen through this story is that he has reacted in incredible ways at every turn. It's a little bit daunting, of course, when you read his story, but I think it also gives us a bit of confidence, doesn't it, for how we can act within this second choice life. Because for all of us, I guess, there have been moments in our lives that we wouldn't have chosen to happen. When the road's taken a little bit of a turn, when somebody else's decision has affected our life as well, and we've ended up in a different place from where we hoped to be or where we thought we'd be, in terms of how we lived and how we functioned. But I think we can take great heart from this. And Tom, we've sort of chatted about three things that we think come out of this story, don't we?
Absolutely. And the first of these three things that we see is that for Daniel and his friends, for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, we see that their faith is consistent. And this spreads out into all the aspects of their life. And it also spreads out amongst the people that Daniel works with. They see that Daniel's faith is the foundation of everything he is, everything he does, and it shaped everything that was to do with his life. And his co-workers kind of don't like this. They actually kind of don't like this idea that Daniel's a bit different from them. And we face that in life sometimes. But for Daniel, he stuck to his guns. And all the way through this book, how he's responded has been so consistent. And I think that's the first thing to take away, that faith is consistent.
And in verse 3 of Daniel 6, it says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the chief ministers and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." So he was going to be like the prime minister. Who wouldn't want Daniel as prime minister?
I'd love Daniel to be our prime minister.
Can you imagine? That would be a president or anything.
Yes,
that would be amazing. Yeah. But it is this, he so distinguished himself. You know, there was this consistency of who he was in every aspect of his life. It is quite incredible, really, isn't it?
And sometimes you meet people that you look at and you think, wow, I really want to be like that person. And sometimes you meet people and you find, or at least I found, that I'm a bit jealous of them in terms of what they're doing, their position. A certain Liverpool football manager, I'm a bit jealous of his current position and the way that he acts. But enough of that, because actually what we see is that Daniel's co-workers decide that they've had enough. They don't want Daniel to be prime minister of the land, looking out over King Darius's kingdom. And so in verse 4, it says this: "At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so." I mean, that's a bit of a far cry from some of the news stories we read at the moment. But then it goes on to say, "They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent."
Yeah.
And when we choose to be people of integrity and live out our faith consistently, other people are going to notice it. And all around us, people will realise that there's something different about the way that we are handling situations in our lives. And I think it's in those moments that our faith in God will be demonstrated through our actions, our attitudes and the decisions that we make. Mm. And then when we live out and faithfully serve God, it will impact those people who are around us. Mm.
And I think it is this, you know, it was a very shaky world, wasn't it? And it is still a shaky world in so many ways. But Daniel seemed to find that way of living in a consistent way in the choices he made. There was no distinction between his faith in God and his work life, that nobody could put a cigarette paper, so to speak, between the two things. And as much as people tried, there was nothing they could find. And when you think how complicated this life was for him, you know, right from the very beginning, this second choice life, you know, he wouldn't have wanted this. Of course he wouldn't want it. Other people dictated to him what his life was going to be. And yet he decided, this is how I'm going to live. And what a tribute to him. Now he's probably 80 years old now.
Wow.
At this stage. And still, you know, they can't find anything wrong with him. Nothing that they can trip him up with. And what a challenge that is, but also what a great example it is for us to think about. And I think so much of this consistency, we have to understand what it was built on. And I think his identity, his self-identity, was so sure and certain. Now, clearly, you know, we've got parallels with Daniel in the Old Testament and obviously the New Testament story that we know. And, of course, for us, our identity is in Christ, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what brings us consistency. You know, the world is so consumed by image at the moment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, continually image, image, image. But if we can move from image to identity, I think then we stand a chance of having this consistent faith that Daniel showed us, and by the end of his life, 80 years old, he still had that. So I think it's a great lesson to learn, Tom, you know, consistency of faith and how we can be inspired to actually build the sort of life that leads to that.
Mm. And so then this decree is passed. These people have conspired against Daniel, really, and they took it to King Darius and said, you should make it a rule, King Darius, that no one can worship anything other than the king. And if they do, then they should be thrown into a den of very hungry lions. Well, as we've seen over the past few weeks, Daniel is a man who is consistent in his faith. And we already know how Daniel's going to respond to this, don't we? Daniel's going to have none of it. But he's not going to be rebellious. He's not going to go and shout from the rooftops, no, this is wrong, you cannot do this. Instead, we read in verse 10 that he did this. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now in life, there's going to be many, many times when we don't have to be aggressive or obnoxious about sharing our faith, because it's our actions and our lifestyle that can clearly declare our commitment to God. So often we get hung up on this idea about evangelism, don't we? And this need to evangelise to every single person we see. And for some people, there's a calling to do that. And we don't want anybody who's got that passion to feel like we're saying you shouldn't do it. But there's also times when it's going to take a lot longer to bring somebody to know Jesus. And sometimes that idea of living out your life consistently, to not have a different Sunday face from a Monday to Friday face, is something that we see all the way through here. And of course, Daniel could have stopped praying for 30 days, or he could have just prayed away from his window. He could have done it in a small room off to the side of his house where no one could see him. And I imagine he may not have been caught, but he didn't, even though he knew what the penalty of that would be. Which leads us on to the second point, that there's going to be times in our lives when faith can lead us to persecution. This idea of living counterculturally can sometimes be really difficult. And there was a good question that I saw recently which said this: if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And lots of followers of Jesus, and I'm sure many of you watching this morning, would probably say, well, of course, I would die for Jesus. But Tim, your words that we heard at the induction service, and I'm going to try and find the clip to play right now.
Tim, do you fancy it?
No, no, no.
We've already lost Lee and Leon. It's your turn now.
I'd do a lot for Jesus, but not that.
Those words run through my head. That idea of I'd do a lot for Jesus, but not that. And it's a safe bet to assume that none of you watching this morning have been thrown into a den of lions. But there have been occasions in life when it's been really tough. And I wonder what goes through your head when you're put in the firing line.
It's an amazing thought, Tom. And yes, I haven't regretted those words, because I certainly won't. I'm never going to bungee jump, I have to say. But but it's a really good reminder, isn't it? You know, as to where is our line, if you like. You know, what is it? You know, whether it's in the workplace or in our family. You know, what are we prepared to compromise on? What will we stop doing as a Christian in order just to please somebody? And Daniel, you know, as you say, you know, he went and prayed, and the text says in verse 10, just as he had done before. You know, these guys knew it, which is why they set the trap for him, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they knew that this was going to trip him up, which is great tribute to Daniel, because he did it, you know? It's not that he fell for it,
no.
Because this was his life. And he had that sort of faith. You remember when the three guys were thrown into the fiery furnace, and one of the things they said was, you know, well, even if our God doesn't save us,
we're still going to trust him,
yeah. You know? And to have that, even if he doesn't, kind of faith, I mean, what a challenge that is, mm-hmm. You know? And for all of us, whatever it is we're walking through, I was reminded this week, you know, look, life is tough, isn't it? You know, and the Bible has this sense of lament throughout it, of when things aren't going well, you know, and expressing that. But actually, you express that lament on the basis of your trust in a God who you know you can still trust, whatever happens. And so we cry out with lament, but actually we stand in that confident place to be. And persecution, you know, I mean, if you know the Bible, it runs through the Bible, doesn't it? It's everywhere in the Bible. In John 17, with Jesus' prayer, you know, he prays, John 17, 14, I've given them, his followers, his disciples, your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. You know, as you've sent me into the world, I've sent them. You know, and it is this sense, you know, that let's not be surprised when it gets tough. Let's not be surprised. But are we prepared to stand on with confidence in the faith that we have? And is it enough to convict us?
Well, I can remember times, not too long ago actually, comparatively I'll say, when I was in school and I was bullied for my faith. And I look back and I think of some of the really hurtful things that were said, and it hurt, and it still hurts now. But God brought me through it. He brought me good friends. He brought me crazy friends. I'm thinking of one friend in particular who one morning came in to me and said, right, we're going to do an assembly in front of the whole year. I was like, okay, fine. And she was like, we're going to talk about Jesus. And I was like, okay. Having not asked me before this, it was a great moment. But God brought me crazy friends. He brought me friends in school. He brought me friends through university and beyond. But when those times were really, really tough, I know that I simply had to surrender things to God. I had to just say, look, God, I can't handle this on my own. I'm really struggling with this right now. I'm having all sorts of issues in school, and I just need you to come into my situation. And I'm really grateful to my parents for bringing me up in a prayerful way, and with this idea of knowing that spending time with God is good. And it's really funny that Daniel prayed three times a day, because as I was growing up, that's what we were taught and told to do. We prayed once on the way to school in the car. We prayed after dinner. This is excluding graces and things. We prayed after dinner as a family, and then we prayed before bed on our own. And it's been a discipline that's become so important to me, and it's helped me to know that God is by my side, even when times come that are really, really hard. And this theme of God being with people, God being with his followers and believers when things are hard, is something that we really need to take heart in, and we need to understand fully what that means for us as Christians. And for the Israelites, there's a wonderful promise that was given to them whilst they were in exile. In Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and 11, it says this. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And God didn't take them out of that situation. God didn't remove them from the difficult place that they were at. God didn't even stop the persecution of them. But he promised to be with them. He promised to come alongside them. And Daniel and his friends knew that God would ultimately have his way in this situation. And when we really believe God is in control of the future, I think it allows us to take a stand in the present time that we're living in. This idea that actually we can go through an amount of persecution because we know that God is with us.
And how important prayer is in this story, and in the story of many followers of Jesus who have been persecuted over the years as well. And that consistency of prayer, of starting, of finishing each day in prayer, you know, it doesn't keep you safe, it doesn't take it away, but it grounds you still. And I guess it comes to that next step of faith, really, and that is integrity. And the way to build integrity, it is to keep connected to the living God, isn't it? You know, and to allow who God is into the centre of your life. You know, in Jeremiah, a couple of verses before the ones you've quoted, Tom, in verse 7 of Jeremiah 29, it says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. And that was another prophetic moment that I think Daniel definitely had within his whole being. You know, he did what he had to do. He'd risen to the top of the government leadership, you know, and he sought what was best even in that place of exile. And that's the ongoing challenge for us. You know, whatever the consequences, whatever the challenges in the places we're in, let's be people of integrity who seek the good of the people around us and the places that we work and the places we live and the places that we have leisure in. Let's seek the good of that. And that's built out of that relationship of prayer that you've talked about so clearly as well. And I wonder if that is something that all of us should be challenged about. You know, if there's a takeaway from today's message about Daniel 6, perhaps it is. Yeah, I need to just sort out my prayer life. I need to be more disciplined than that. And I need to connect again, you know, and build this faith on this rock, this solid rock, this foundation of connection with the living God, no matter what is happening. And for Daniel, I mean, what kept him going until he was 80 plus years old in exile? Do you know? It could only be 3 times a day praying. Now, 3 times a day isn't magic. But it can be a good
discipline. And so, as the story progresses, Daniel had no idea what was going to happen as he was thrown into the pit. He was passed on to the king, and there's some beautiful words where the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, though, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." That's Daniel's faith coming out again and it being shown to King Darius that this is something that is really important. And I think the influence that Daniel's having on King Darius, even as he's thrown into the lion's den, can't be ignored. In verse 18, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Because of the way that Daniel chose to live, God was using him, even before this amazing miracle happened, to affect the most powerful person in the entire kingdom. And Daniel had no idea what was going to happen when he was thrown into the lion's den. There might have been an amount of belief that God was going to provide some sort of way for him to either go and be with God through a very quick and swift death, or a magical way of being saved. But I don't really believe that he was all that bothered about which of those outcomes it was going to be. In the same way that for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they shared that same conviction when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Because in that moment, Daniel was only concerned about honouring God. And the only way to honour God in that moment was to take a stand against the oppressive regime that had been thrust onto him. Now, if you know the story, you'll know that once Daniel was in the pit, God sent angels to shut the lion's mouths and keep them from even touching him. Now, I could show you a clip right now of a really vicious lion attack, but instead, I'm going to show you this cute little picture of a baby lion. But it was a crazy idea. It was a really crazy idea because these lions were hungry. How do we know they were hungry? Well, Daniel was rescued, and in verse 24, at the king's commands, the men who were falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children, and before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones.
I don't know why you're laughing, Tom.
Because they were very, very hungry lions.
That's quite funny, yes.
They were very hungry lions. And of course, Daniel was saved, and Daniel's faithfulness to God resulted in King Darius sending out a decree to everyone in the kingdom to tremble and stand in fear before God.
It's an amazing transformation, isn't it? And so all good. Down to this one man who just had faith and confidence in God. You know, his prayer wasn't, Lord, get me out of here, was it really?
No.
You know, I'm a Christian, get me out of here.
No.
Well, I'm a follower of God, get me out of here. It was, get Jesus in here.
Yeah.
And that's a transformational prayer, isn't it? Jesus, come and be where I am. Please, I invite you to come in. And that's the essence of the greatest prayer of all time, really, isn't it? You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, in the lion's den, in the second choice life, in the challenges that we face, in lockdown, your kingdom come, God. And I'm going to trust you that whatever I'm facing, whatever situation I'm in, I want your kingdom to come here. I want your will to be done. And I think that sums up Daniel's life really well, doesn't it? To give honour to the living God that he trusted throughout his life. And God used him powerfully to build the kingdom, even in exile. Fantastic.
It's so important to think of this story and to understand what living with integrity looks like. People around us will notice when we choose to live differently. Your life can become a testimony that will help friends understand who God is. And it's amazing that when we make our choices around honouring God, the Bible says that many people will be drawn to him. Those who are close to us will notice we're different, and even if they're non-Christians, they're going to start asking questions. And so many times we've had stories of people who've gone on an Alpha course after chatting with somebody in their workplace who didn't do something when everyone else did. And it's just great to hear these moments of people living with integrity, making a real difference in their environment that they're in. When we're willing to step out in faith, God promises to protect us. He shows up in incredible ways all through the Bible, and I've personally seen so many times when God has come and stood alongside me when times have been really tough. It might not be that God will send angels to come and close the mouths of lions like Daniel needed, but God has promised to watch over us and protect us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says this, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you." I think that's a beautiful way for us to finish this series that we've been doing, looking at the book of Daniel.
Yeah, and please continue to dig in, won't you? Because there's so much more to learn and understand from this one character that God used for his purposes and transformed the lives of many, many people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness towards us. We thank you that throughout history, you have stood by your people in whatever circumstances they found themselves in, and you've proved yourself faithful. Father, sometimes that takes a little while for us to come through that process of exile or feeling lost and alone. But I pray that each of us will trust you today and tomorrow and for all that's to come, because you are the same yesterday, today and forever. We acknowledge you, Father God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that there was a day when he bought our freedom through his sacrifice. We thank you that there was a day when the stone was rolled away from the tomb and the tomb was empty, and because Jesus is alive. May we have the confidence to trust you, to know that you are alive and that we can safely put our lives in your hands. Thank you that we are your children, your treasured possession. We love you and we long to follow you each day. Be with us, I pray, in your name. Amen.
Amen. And so we say together the words that Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. If you're not sure of the words, then they'll be on the screen for you to join in with us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We hope you have a really wonderful week. And as Tim said in the update that came out on Friday, we've still got so much happening over the next few days. If you didn't see our bedtime story last night, then maybe that's something to check out at the end of our service now. It was a wonderful tale. Jesus and the Lion's Den.
Jesus? Intriguing.
What?
I'm going to have to go and check that out now, Tom.
There we go. Have a wonderful week. May God bless you and your families. We'll see you next Sunday at 10:30 for a start of a new little series of one-off talks.
Yes.
Very exciting.
God bless you. Have a good week. Bye-bye.